What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Well, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Marius, Tack Theratrix.
Hi, I'm Spartacus.
Luke Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Muammar Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison? Swangles in Fort Lauderdale.
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the Sears hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault.
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. Thanks for checking us out. If you're watching on Iconic or you're listening wherever podcasts are served, we certainly do appreciate you checking us out. We know you have a lot of options out there. We have two sponsors for the show, Scribd. If you are into reading ebooks or e-magazines or audiobooks, Scribd has everything you could possibly look for. They have the best books and audiobooks that are sitting there just waiting for you. It's $9.99 a month. Your first month is free. You can try it out, cancel anytime. They have thousands of options. You will never be able to finish it all. So check them out. The link is in the description below. And our other sponsor is Curiosity Stream. If you're a geek like I am, you're into all sorts of documentaries, Curiosity Stream has what you are looking for. High definition quality, unlimited streaming of thousands of shows. You can stream it on your laptop, your television, your phone, your tablet. You can view it offline, worldwide, anywhere you need it. They've got it. It's only $2.99 a month. That is 10 cents a day. Even you poor bastards out there can find 10 cents a day stuffed in your couch. Please check them out. The links are in the description, and sponsorship or supporting our sponsors helps to support the show as well. And we certainly need it. Well, I've done his show a couple of times. It's nice to have the favor returned. He's the host of Tinfoil Hat. It's been out for a very long time. If you don't know what that is, what the hell's the matter with you? My good friend, Sam Tripoli. Is that how you pronounce your last name?
I love it, dude. I 100% Sam Tripoli. I love it. I do that all the time, and I appreciate it on the return. First of all, as you know, I'm a podcaster. I'm a new dad. And second of all, I'm a ad reader coach. I help people work on their ad reads. And I got to tell you, you knocked it out of the park, dude.
Thank you.
You knocked it out of the park. I mean, I was very impressed. And those are some great ad reads, and I will be using your promo codes to get that stuff going. How are you?
And the joke is that Sam butchers everybody's last name. Obviously, I know what his last name is. But Mr. Masixelplick will go on Tinfoil Hat and just wait. Some guy with a Persian last name, and it's just a bloodbath for about 3 minutes.
It's gotten to the point where it's such a thing that I start to get tense on it, and it's making it even worse. So it is what it is. I mean, what I should do is get a co-host who can speak proper English and him do all the reads and names. But I'm the only guy that gets somebody who uses English as a second language as his co-host on his English-speaking podcast.
Well, it makes it fun. I think people enjoy that. the uncertainty of what you're going to do to somebody's name that they're very proud of.
Oh, man. I have very understanding. I have very understanding listeners, and I'm very thankful for them.
You have the best listeners. Yeah. I'm one of them. And in that tinfoil hat Facebook group, we've talked about this before. Those people are savages. You come in there, you better come in there with your shit together or they will wreck you.
I love Facebook because I love I don't love Facebook, but I love going back to Facebook after you've left it for a while and just watching chaos break out after something you posted just as an afterthought. I forget what it was, but one time I posted that I don't think anyone should say the N-word ever, even black people. And I just posted it and I left it like I came back a week later and just the internet had melted. And I didn't know, there was like 1,000 responses. I mean, it was chaos. So once in a while, I'll go back to the Facebook page and I'll check it out. And it's just, I love they had to kick some person out. It was an administrator. Yeah, I love it. If you listen to the show, if you don't listen to it, you want some really nice, fun information, some great information, and a lot of fireworks. Go check that out. And the Reddit page is great, too. I'll go there. They wanted to start a change.org to get me to stop. They want basically a petition to get me to stop saying, oh, my God, every time on the podcast.
Right.
So I think it's wonderful. I love it all. I've been on the other end where nobody cared. So I'll take any kind of reaction, both positive or negative at this point, because it's wonderful that people really like what we're doing, what you're doing, Charlie, what I'm doing. It's fun that there's a great audience out there that's really digesting the information.
I think I smell a Oh My God t-shirt in the works.
There should be an Oh My God t-shirt. I'll think of one, but hey, I love coming up with t-shirts. I think that's fun. There's just so much of this show that is just, it's not work, man. And it's a blessing that we find this stuff. And it's a blessing to you to be on Mr. Ike's channel. Like, that's a wonderful thing. He's such a legend of this whole thing. So it's pretty great.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I've been involved with your Twitter comments in the past. I commented one time, you said something's retarded. And you were taking a bunch of heat. And then in the comments, I just said, retarded, retarded, retarded. And I did that right before I got on an airplane, kind of like that lady that went to Africa and her whole world blew up. By the time I got off the airplane, I was in a 1 week suspension from Twitter. I have since been kicked off of Twitter for casually joking that, you know, saying, so when are we going to, I didn't even post it as a comment. I posted it as a tweet. I just made it a comment in someone else's. I said, so when are we going to throw Bill Gates into a volcano?
Yeah.
That's all I said. And they threw me off of Twitter. So now you'll see me, now I've got a dozen followers.
Well, hey man, send me your new follow list. I'll put it out. We'll try to get you as many people as you can.
Sounds cool.
I think it's ridiculous. It's very interesting, dude, because, like, you know, even on the Tinfoil Hat Instagram page, which is like hugely interactive, man, it's like, it's getting kind of weird because it's getting close to passing my personal page. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of like, I'm like, why is that growing so quickly? And why is my personal page not growing so much? But it's moving very quickly. But it's very interesting that there are a lot of people on there that just don't listen to the podcast and they just say the most ridiculous stuff. And it just shows you how uninformed the public is and how the system is set to misinform people. Like, what Bill Gates is doing should totally deserve what you said, which is he should be thrown in a volcano.
I agree.
100%. As a society, we should have like a Super Bowl halftime show where we cut to us throwing Bill Gates and his pedo skin. The guy's got total pedo skin, right? Throw him in to a volcano. It's ridiculous. And it's very interesting because, you know, it's left to the right. But when the left goes to the right with some actual mean stuff, not only do they not get banned, they get more tweets and retweets by these, like, these bots that are there to muck us all up. It's so interesting. And if it wasn't so evil, it would be one of the most brilliant things ever, this ability to what they call astroturf a movement, which is when, you know, which I'm sure your listeners are smart enough to know, but it's basically when something seems like a grassroots movement and it's really not, it's fake. It's made by very, very powerful, very rich people to seem genuine and real, but really it's fake. And that's really what's going on. I mean, I can't tell you how many people I've seen with blue check marks get the most ridiculous retweets and likes for the most dumbest stuff. And it's just, once you get that blue check mark, just something happens on Twitter where you get way more. And it's, we're in an information war. We're really in an information war. And as much crap as Alex Jones gets on some stuff, I mean, he's right. I mean, I'm really starting to get into this, you know, Chai bots things, or Chi-com stuff that he's talking about, right? About how like the Chinese are so deep into our politics. I'm starting to think with this virus right now, they are deep, deep into everything. So it's an interesting time.
Yeah. And I've been saying the same thing about Alex Jones, about, you know, we're in an information war, and he gets all crazy and everything. You've been on his set. You've done his show a bunch of times. I think we need to start giving Alex Jones a little bit more credit for actually being right about some of these things. I know he goes off the deep end. I know he starts to rant about crazy stuff, but from time to time, man, he nailed it. And that is exactly what we are. We're in an information war, and it is just like any war. There's dirty tricks being played in Twitter and Facebook and the mainstream media and everything that we hear. They just put it in this echo chamber and just repeat the hell out of it. And next thing you know, everybody's at Costco fighting each other for toilet paper. And we think we're so smart, and we think we're above that, and we think we won't get dragged into this. And then there we are, you know, fighting idiots, you know, because the media has whipped us up into this frenzy, and it's so dangerous. And I see this, and you and I are sort of in the alternative media talking about these things, but then you also have this whole other world of comedy world. And I feel like that has been infected by this as well, where God forbid you go out there. I mean, you've said it many times. There's no rules in comedy. And yet there appears to be rules in comedy. There appear to be a bunch of people that are trying to tell everybody else what the rules are. And there's like a civil war in the comedy world.
There's 100% civil war in the comedy room. I feel it in my day-to-day practices. I'm going to be honest with you, Charlie. I am killing it harder than I've ever killed it in my personal career. My connection with the Los Angeles comedy scene seems to be as distant as it's ever. I mean, I feel less connected with them. It's like I only succeed in stuff I personally produce. I'm not very much used in everybody else's stuff because I don't believe that. I think there's one rule, and that's be funny.
Right.
Well, you know, I saw a bunch of my friends doing a podcast. They were talking about how comedians are outlaws. We really are. We were for the longest time. I really do think we have a bunch of conformists right now who are just trying to push out the outlaws. I feel it a lot at the comedy clubs. And it's really ugly. Back to Alex Jones. I think Alex Jones's problem, he has a little bit of a Zionist problem, mm-hmm. Some issues with that. But outside of that, and I would tell you that. Who else is completely 100% clean? I mean, like, I could have anybody on my podcast and someone will tell me how they're a sellout, they're an agent, they're full of – I mean, nobody can walk through the world completely 100% clean and not interact with somebody who is, like, not here doing it all 100% up and up. It's just the way it is. Alex Jones has been right on a lot of stuff. He's been talking about this Chi-com stuff. He's been talking about these FEMA camps. He's been talking about all this stuff. And I think we should give him a lot of credit. And there's one thing I'll really tell you, dude, is when I meet people like you, I met people like Alex Jones. I met somebody like Adam Green who does not like Alex Jones. And you meet these people and they're the nicest people. Mm-hmm. I mean, Alex Jones, his staff couldn't be nicer. And then, you know, you see them on doing their thing and they just rub people out the wrong way because they have a lot of passion. Yeah. And they say scary things. People like to be ignorantly blissful. They love, they're arrogant about their ignorance. That's what I'm starting to learn right now. It's a crazy time.
Yeah, I spent a lot of time in Tennessee when I was growing up. My grandparents lived there and there was this component there. I'm not to paint everybody from Tennessee with this, but there was a certain segment that was just ignorant, and they were proud of it. They just they were enthusiastic about how ignorant they were, and they didn't want to know any better. And there's a lot of people out there that are like that. I mean, the information that we present, that Alex Jones presents, is sometimes controversial, and it rubs people the wrong way because it causes them to think that maybe the way they view reality is not exactly the way it really is. And then it creates this cognitive dissonance, and you get a fight out of people.
For sure.
And that's okay, because the first time you hear all this stuff, it sounds crazy. But just because it's crazy doesn't mean it isn't true. And for Alex to get up there, and also we also have to take into account the fact that he's putting on a show. And there's a showman. Yeah. He's got to be responsible for keeping people entertained. So where is that line between fact and the show? You know, does he really hate Piers Morgan? He probably does. Everybody hates Piers Morgan. But does he really? Was he just shot out of a cannon that day when he went on that show and just started screaming at him? Or is that, you know, is that an act or is that real?
I think Alex Jones a long time ago realized that there was a certain type of a way of promotion that the Kardashians use later, and that a lot of people use, which is go big, as big as you can, and the bigger the train wreck, the more the eyeballs, and that, which is a really interesting way to go. But it also is like, if you're in comedy, we call it an edgelord. Sometimes if you're an edgelord, you can fall over the edge, and we've seen that happen to a couple people. We had, you know, regardless of what his take was on Sandy Hook, and I have my personal opinions on that. I don't really go into it because that seems to be something that gets you dinged on. But he has his own, you know, his Sandy Hook. You have Kathy Griffin holding up Trump's head. You have Ari Shaffir with the Kobe Bryant joke. These are things that people say that you know, that is in the vein of trying to get promotion. The bigger the train wreck, better. And sometimes it just blows up in their face. Yeah. And that's the game you got to play when you play that game, which is go big or go home. Sometimes you have to go home. And it's a very interesting way of operating.
Is Ari at home?
Ari is at home. Right now, dude, to be honest with you, everybody's canceling their gigs. And the blessings that I have is that, you know, my lady told me I couldn't go on the road, so I didn't have to cancel any gigs because I'm staying home with the babies, you know. Yeah. But everybody's canceling their gigs. You know, I want to go back to something you mentioned about, you know, when we say these kind of crazy things. Here's the truth, Charlie, is the difference between us and everybody else is that we keep score. Mm. We keep score. Everybody, I call them goldfish. We're really dealing with a goldfish problem. And what the goldfish is that goldfish only see what's right in front of them. They have no clue what's behind them. They can't remember anything that just happened. Mm-hmm. The only thing that matters is what's in front of them right there. And that's why, you know, with this coronavirus thing going on, am I saying it's not a virus? No, I'm not. But I'm saying what's going on around this virus makes no sense. And it fits into the exact same feeling of weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, right? How everybody was, it's like the emperor's new clothes. Everyone's telling us about this. Oh, it's chaos. And everybody's falling in line. And there's a couple people out there going, no, this is not what you think it is. This is not what it is. And at the end of the day, I think people really just get off on fear. I mean, I think we live in such a bubble of comfort right now in this country that like fear resonates with us on a primal level and we really enjoy it. And that's why they just can't, you know, it's like someone just yells run, everybody just starts running. They don't know why they're running, they're just running. And it's interesting times.
Yeah. And I think you're 100% right on that. And the media knows that because they play that up. If it was up to the mainstream media, there would be a school shooting every other week. Man, they can't get enough of that stuff.
Yeah.
They love this. This is the greatest thing that could happen to them. And, you know, as far as this coronavirus stuff, let me just say, the information that we have on this is coming from the Chinese government, the Chinese media, the American government, the American media, and the CDC. Five institutions that have zero credibility.
So yeah, right.
Excuse me if I'm a little hesitant to just go run and stab somebody so that I can get a case of water, because I'm gonna hold back. Now I may be wrong, and it may wind up wiping out a bunch of people, and then I will look, and I'll stand up and say I was wrong. I hope it doesn't happen, but I've witnessed media created hysteria plenty of times, as you have too, and I've also seen real hysteria. I mean, I was at USC going to school there when the riots happened. I saw what it really looks like when it goes full Mad Max. And
for
it is
sure, dude. I was in Vegas and we had the National Guard out. That's how chaotic it was. And that's how real it was.
Yeah.
We don't see any of that right now.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm on the fence about this whole coronavirus thing. I just know that the people that are giving the information to everybody are essentially the boys who've cried wolf. They've talked about how we're all going to die so many times that now we've got a situation where it could be the case. And I'm just going, I don't know. I'm not really listening to you guys. You guys have no credibility. And by the way, the mainstream media has nobody to blame but themselves for years and years of lying to people, looking in the camera and flat out intentionally lying to people. So now they want us to all fall in line and believe them. I'm sorry, I just can't. If Jake Tapper tells me that it's Wednesday, I have to check my calendar. I just don't believe anybody.
I couldn't agree more, Charlie. I just find the whole thing just ridiculous. I mean, like, just in the last 4 years, I mean, just look at what's gone down, brother. I mean, we've had Russian hacking.
Yep.
We've had grabber by the woo-woo, right? Because I got kids here. The woo-woo, Russian collusion, Ukrainian, pro quo. And now we have this. I mean, it's just they've tried to do everything they can, and they're getting less and less results. So this is it. This is, to me, the big Hail Mary pass. What scares me about this Hail Mary pass is it's so early in to the year, and we have to go to November for this election that they've obviously are trying to manipulate. And I think Adam Silver has caused a ridiculous problem here. We all know the NBA has lost a lot of money due to Daryl Morey's comments from the Houston Rockets in support of Hong Kong. And Adam Silver has come out and said it's costed the NBA billions of dollars. And who is the first league to suspend play is the NBA. What a great way to get back into the favor of the big red government than to jump on their hysteria train, right? And the guy who gets it is the guy that was mocking everybody about how deadly the coronavirus is. Mm-hmm. You know, we go to the doctor, we get tested, and then it comes back. We don't know. I'm just telling you, dude, it's like, you're right, Charlie. If we're wrong, I'll be the first one to say we're wrong. But let me just say something. It will be the first time we do that.
Yeah.
I mean, when was the last time we really got wrong? I got a couple little things wrong. You know what I got wrong is when I said that one of the Houston Astros had the tape still left mm-hmm. on his chest from the buzzard, and it turned out to be confetti. That was when I was wrong. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. Every other time, we've been 100% correct. And the problem is nobody keeps score except for us. The same people yelling at me about what a crazy person I am were the same ones telling me that Hillary was involved in a giant child sex trafficking ring. And in 2019, six different cases involving the Clinton Global Initiative, people were either arrested or tried or some other kind of thing involving child sex trafficking. It's like, we're always right. And it's just, they just don't want to give us credit, and they just never remember.
Is it fair for us to change Adam Silver's name to Adam Colloidal Silver?
Yeah, 100%, dude. I think he's done a lot of damage to the league. He's been this empowered guy, empowering the players. What basically that's been a lot of allowing them to go and just sound off on social justice stuff. The style of play in the NBA has gotten awful. Nobody's enjoying it. It's just a bunch of 3-point checking. Nobody's playing defense. Nobody does any, and nobody's enjoying it. And the ratings have shown. And what a great way to get out of this rating dump as to suspend everything and then get back into the Chinese government's good favor. And it's 100% what's going on. He couldn't call this quick enough.
Yeah.
And now, because of that, the NHL, the Major League Baseball, and I think one other, I think it might be MLS, yeah, suspended play.
Yeah, it's crazy. Is this going to benefit your Clippers? Give them a little time to gel?
No. This is going to benefit the Lakers, 100%. Mm. They've been playing those guys heavy minutes.
Yeah.
Very heavy. And now they get a little break. Then that's a whole different story. They did a whole episode on the Black Mamba.
Yeah.
And what was very interesting is, like, I was very nervous. I put out that episode. I'm very nervous. I was nervous about, and I got one more about to come out that makes me nervous. But that's what tinfoil hat is. It's meant to be the conversations that make people nervous. Yeah. And again, that is a dangerous game to play. But we got to do it. And, you know, the whole thing with Kobe Bryant and LeBron James and all that stuff, it's like dark arts, dude, dark arts. And people call us crazy, but at the end of the day, we're always right. I mean, listen, Charlie, you and I wouldn't be doing this if we were wrong all the time, right? How many times have you started something in your life and you were like, okay, I'm not good at this, right? My example is jiu-jitsu, right? I started jiu-jitsu with my friend Scott Ross. He was super flexible. I wasn't. He stayed with it. He now has his own dojo in Ventura 10th Planet, and I am taking Krav Maga. So I mean, like, you don't stick with something that you're not good at. So if we were always wrong, Charlie, on these things that we say are going on, we wouldn't be doing this anymore.
Yeah. Well, we see LeBron James doing the triangle and doing the, you know, this and, you know, and all the symbolism. So when we call these athletes out, I know you've had Larry Johnson on, you've had Bishop Larry Gators. I just did his show not too long ago. We talk about this dark arts stuff and that there's a group behind the professional sports. And the first time you hear that, it's tempting. People are like, get out of here with that nonsense. You're like, no, listen, hang on a second. There's, you know, you've got Freemasons running the world. They're all living with signals and signs, and that's their way of communicating without verbalizing it. And we start to see it. We see it at the Grammys. We see it at the all the Super Bowl halftime shows. These are like if you're just a casual fan and you're turning on the Super Bowl and you're watching Jennifer Lopez and everything, you might come away and say that was kind of a dirty, like almost X-rated show.
Yeah.
And you go, okay, well, that's one way to interpret that. Yeah. How about all the other stuff? How about the kids in cages? How about the how about the burning triangles? How about all that stuff? Are we supposed to pretend like
Goathead on her outfit?
On her outfit. Yeah, Goathead on her. Are we supposed to just pretend that this doesn't hit? And then I bring that up and the room turns on me. Like, yeah, I'm the crazy person for acknowledging it and seeing it. And one of the things that's great about Tinfoil Hat is that you've given everybody permission to check that stuff at the door, come in and sit down and get into some weirdness, and they can stay as long as they want, or they can get up and leave and turn the show off. But it is, you've given people permission to dig into some of the stranger aspects of society, and people are hungry for it. That's why your show has grown so much. That's why you're so popular now, is that people want to weird out, and they can't do that with a lot of people that they know. They can't do it with their friends and family, most of them, but they get a free pass when they come on online, or they listen, you know, they listen to the podcast, or they watch it on YouTube or wherever it's shown. You've given them permission to get weird. And I love
that. Well, I appreciate that, Charlie. And, you know, what I decide very early on, you know, is because, you know, I've been friends with Eddie Bravo for a long time, and we've kind of always had these point of views. We've always talked about it. And then when you talk to other people, you get screamed and yelled at. And, you know, when I started Tinfoil Hat, I mean, the whole Hillary Clinton, is she involved in this giant, you know, sex trafficking ring was coming out. And I would have conversations with people and they would get angry with me, like very angry with me. So very early on, I said, you know what? Conspiracy theorists, they're like street dogs, right? They get like they've taken a lot of abuse. I'm going to let people come on and just talk. I'm going to give them the hour to 2 hours that we talk. I'm going to assume everything they're saying is real, and we're going to dive into it. And then I'm going to put it out to the swarm. We call the listeners the swarm because they show up in bunches. And if you're faking the funk on a nasty dunk, brother, you're going to hear about it. Mm-hmm. You know, you can come to the truth chamber, but you got to come correct or else you're going to pay a price. But when you are honest and you are real and everything checks out, you get an amazing amount of love. And I think the reason the show also resonates is that when you do go back and do those research, you do research on what's being told, you know, you realize those, oh my God moments are when the pieces of the puzzle just click, mm-hmm. right? And you're like, oh my, click. You know, it's like a long time ago, I was studying Kazarians, right? Mm-hmm. And there's this whole debate on Kazarians. Are they real? Are they blah, blah, blah? But when I started studying that the Rothschilds are Kazarians, and then you study the history of Kazarians, and you realize you go all the way back that they're Turkish, right? Mm-hmm. And then you start going, oh, who founded Israel? And you're like, Kazarians. And then you're like, oh, that's why Israel never recognized the genocide. And that's just Sam speaking, not Charlie. This is Sam's research. And well, I remember that moment when that clicked in my head. I was walking my dog. I just dropped the leash. I was like, holy cow. That's a piece of the puzzle that suddenly just clicked. And those are the moments on the shows that work when those pieces click together. It's like, you know, nobody wanted to have the conversation about Kobe Bryant. And it's kind of interesting because Greg Carwood and I kind of put out the same episode at the same time. And his show is wonderful. Higher Chats, you know, but it's like, I thought there was going to be a lot of pushback. I was amazed there was none because the pieces started clicking for people. They did their own research and they found out what Bishop Larry Gators was saying was 100% true. And that's why I think the show resonates, because there's nothing me going, you know, trying to spin something in a certain way to benefit others who are trying to control the message. It is just free flow of information.
Yeah, people love that too. You know, I was at in Acapulco last year, and when David Icke was speaking, and I was with Jason Goodman, and he does a show called Crowdsource the Truth. And he's like, are you going to go watch David Icke? And I was like, yeah. And he said, I'm going to watch it too. I'm not familiar with his work. And I said, oh, okay, well, let's, you know, talk afterwards. And so we were at the 4 hour presentation. Afterwards, I met him outside and I said, what'd you think? And he goes, man, he goes, that guy is just making a whole lot of sense. And that was the only comment. And I was like, that's the greatest compliment you can get. Somebody that has no idea, sits through 4 hours and just goes, all that stuff makes sense. And one of the things that I've noticed on Tinfoil Hat is that you get all these people from a variety of lines of work and researches, and they come in and they start to talk about things, and it might be something you've never heard of before. But a lot of times I catch myself saying, oh, that just makes sense. That just makes a lot of sense. And then the problem though with Tinfoil Hat is that you take, you watch that, then you go out into your real life and you start watching, let's say you've got the nightly news on. It is, the contrast is so great between what makes sense and what makes no sense that it's so overwhelming that you can't even watch the news anymore, because you're like, look, I don't know if that's true or not, but I know when something doesn't sound right. And, you know, I've gotten better at it over the years. When I'm listening to Tinfoil Hat, a lot of the topics make sense and sound right. And a lot of the mainstream narratives don't make sense and they sound totally disjointed. And I'm so much better at it now, at spotting it, because I have the contrast between, if all you watch is the mainstream media, you don't know what to compare it to. But if you're watching that and you're listening to Tinfoil Hat, and at first you'll be like, this stuff sounds crazy. But the more you listen to it, you're like, Yeah, it might sound crazy, but that doesn't mean it isn't true. And it, and all these people come in and they've got a certain level of expertise and they're talking about a particular topic and you're like, why have I never heard about this before? And so you've given a home to a bunch of freaks and weirdos like me that can come in and just get honest for an hour and a half or so. And then go off in their lives. And then you put that out into the world. You know, I can't even tell you how many emails I've gotten from people that are like, dude, I watched you on Tinfoil Hat. I love it. You were in there. You were a savage. And the first time I did the show with you when we were in studio, when we got done, you're like, it's just two guys yelling at each other in agreement. And I was like, yes, that's exactly what it was. It's great. I love it. It's such a great, it's a home for people that have no home.
You know what, man? What is great, and dude, thank you so much. That is such a nice thing to say. It means a lot to me because there are some people, and even in my like my family, I've had moments where like you know family members thought I was a crazy person, and it's kind of weird, right? And it sometimes it hurts because you're like you're just trying to do well, you're just trying to do good for your fellow man. Like people need to understand I'm on nobody's team. I'm on team humanity.
Yes.
I'm for humanity. I don't care if you're a Jew, Christian, Muslim, straight, gay, white, black, whatever. I'm for the common person, you know. When people start to realize that, they'll understand where I'm coming from. But the thing that I love about Tinfoil Hat, because, you know, to be honest with you, man, people go, dude, you must do so much research. And I was telling somebody last night, I've really gotten to the point where I just do enough research in case the guest isn't ideal, meaning that they give very short answers or they don't know as much as I was told they know. And that's, I'm blessed anyone would come on the show. So I just have to do enough research so I can carry it to at least an hour. Like if it's a conversation, because people, they want 2-3 hours. I got to give them at least an hour. But what I love about the show is if you listen to it long enough, you can not only see stuff happen in real time, you can predict what is about to happen.
That's the key.
And that to me is gold because it's very interesting. And so what I tell people is this, take the information. There's some rules of the Ronin. I don't focus on those as much as I should. But, you know, one of the big rules is, and the Ronin is a masterless samurai. There are no masters, you know. So we don't defend anybody we don't personally know. We don't defend any actions we weren't personally a part of. We do not give knowledge to those who do not seek it. And that's a very big thing. Yeah. And if you follow that rule, you'll get in less fights with people. You don't try to tell them what's going on. You wait for them to ask you what's going on. Yeah. And how I always start, I go, what do you think? And if they're really deep into the brainwashing, I handle with care. I start very simple, man. I don't go hard at the paint. But people will start to come to you to ask you what's going on. And when you tell them, and it happens in real time, you start to open people's minds. And we can't change anything, Charlie. If we think we're going to change stuff and we start getting into the results, that's where we go crazy. Okay. And when you see people going nuts about child sex trafficking, and they're screaming because they're so into the results. And I just feel like whatever Trump is, I don't know, this epidemic thing that they're trying to force on us makes me think even more that it's not business as usual over there. But whatever Trump is, whatever he represents, this movement that we're a part of, Charlie, is much bigger than him. Mm-hmm. So regardless of whatever he does from here on, we know what's really going on, which is something we really didn't have in Obama. At least I didn't. I know like David Icke's been in it since forever, so he's known that. But like in terms of the real movement, you know, it's really gained steam in the last 4 or 5 years. And Trump is a big part of that. And whether he is actually a white knight or a white hat, I don't know. I think it's bigger than him. So regardless of whatever he does, he's given us the gift of knowing that the mainstream media is full of crap, Hollywood's dark arts, and we can go on forever and ever of all the stuff that we already know. So it's a blessing, dude. And the show is a blessing. And the name of the show, I got mocked for really early, but it was done on purpose. It was meant to be the NWA of podcasting. I said, what is the one term that is most demonized about conspiracy theorists? And I said, tinfoil hats. And I said, that's going to be the name of the show. And now I see other shows named Beyond the Tinfoil Hat, Tinfoil Hat, and more. And I'm not mad at it at all. Hey, dude, the more the merrier, I say. You know, I don't want you to do tinfoil hat. But, you know, outside of that, you want to go tinfoil hat and friend or whatever. Just whatever, man. The more the merrier. Let it grow, let it grow, let it grow.
Yeah, you said something really important there. And that was that you get to a point where you're able to predict what's going to happen next. And I pulled that magic trick on my mom a couple of years ago when she just happened to show up at my house some afternoon, sat down on the couch. We were talking, we turned the TV on and it was breaking news, San Bernardino shootout. And we didn't know anything about it. I turned to her and I said, I'm going to tell you five things that are going to happen in this. And I know nothing. You and I both just turned the TV on at the exact same time. We're learning about it. I said, first of all, they're going to blame this on Muslims. They're going to make sure that the shooters are killed. There's going to be reports early on that from people that were there that the people doing the actual shooting were wearing military fatigues and were not those people. They're going to leave a manifesto and they're going to totally corrupt the crime scene. And they and I said, if I'm going to, those are the five things. If I'm right about those five, I'm not psychic. I just understand what the plan is. And sure enough, they did the same thing. They said that those people were, they were, you know, it was the husband and wife and that they shot at the place.
But just had a baby.
In the, yeah, right, exactly. They had a brand new baby.
They Charlie, I watched that happen real time. I was sitting with you. I was sitting in my house watching it happen in real time. And I remember the first reports were three or four white men in black military fatigue walked in and shot up the place.
Yep.
And then I watched it happen in real time as it turned to this Muslim guy. And it just didn't even make sense.
No.
Unless you and then you saw that same thing happen in Parkland shooting, dude. Yep. I didn't mean to cut you off right there, but I the same thing exactly happened to me.
Yeah. So are we psychics? No, we're not. We're not. Nobody's calling, you know, Dionne Warwick is not, you know, involved with us. We're not doing any of that stuff. We just, it's just that they run a very simple playbook. It's clear what the agendas are. If you study this sort of stuff and you can look like, like you've got major skills. If you call this out in advance before it happens or while it's happening. And that is unfortunately where, you know, that comes with practice. That comes with, you've got to be called a tinfoil hat lunatic for a while to get that. You this is black belt level stuff.
Black belt, dude. It takes time.
Yeah, exactly.
Start the JFK shooting and work your way through.
Right, right. So you, now one thing that you've done that I think is genius is that you've taken the show on the road, so to speak, with your comedy performances and Eddie joining you and you guys go out and on tour and you're not doing it as much right now because of the babies. But this, the last 2 years, you guys have been hitting the road doing these shows and it's been, the response has been crazy. I mean, I had a bunch of friends at the Vegas show and they, and you talked to them afterwards, Josh and Tim and those guys. And
they're all great.
How was it? They said it was nuts. It was crazy there.
It was crazy. I started in Las Vegas, man. And I started doing coffee shops. And the first place I ever had my name in a marquee was a rock club called The Wet Spot. And then it became The Wet Stop after people complained. But and like to come back and sell out a comedy show in the, where you started, it was a pretty good, amazing thing. And, you know, none of this is possible without Eddie Bravo. I mean, it just really is the truth. I'm blessed that my best friend is such a big figure in this kind of world that we live in. And I'm blessed that he loves me and we've really clicked together. And that was kind of like, he was the first guest on the show. And I kind of go, and that's kind of where I got the idea of like, just let people talk. Yeah. Don't check them on everything. I used to watch, you know, him go on Rogan and Rogan just checking him on everything. And I said, let it go. And so now we start going on the road and Eddie is like, I'm telling you, man, if the dude wanted to do stand up, he worked really hard on for a year or two, he could be one of the best comics working in the world. He's literally that funny. And like, I'm a 26 year comic and I got to follow that guy. And I'm like, man, this kid is thunder. And he's a crusher, dude. And it really, Charlie, to be honest with you, man, I'm really starting to get to the point where I almost don't even want to do regular shows anymore because the crowds are just so mainstream, let's say. Let's be nice about it. They're very mainstream. And I'm starting to get to the point where I just don't want to. What I want to talk about is so out of their realm of understanding now. You know, it's like I detest political correctness. I say to myself, yeah, I write a joke. I go, could a black comic say this? Could a gay comic say this? Could a female comic say this? Can any other group say this? If the answer is yes, I'm going to say it. And some people get really, really mad at about, you know, when I started comedy, you know, if you just said the word Jesus in any context, people would get really quiet, dude. Didn't matter what you said. They don't think you should say the word Jesus in the middle of a comedy show, right?
Right.
Now, if you say the word black or gay, people just get quiet. They don't even hear what you have to say. But yeah, if those comics come up and say it, they laugh their asses off. I had a joke that called oppression math, right? Mm-hmm. And oppression math is basically, as a comic walks to the stage, the crowd will start do oppression math in their head and decide how oppressed this people's group is, this comics group is. And based on that, it's what to let them get away with. And the more oppressed you've been, the more crap you can talk. And I go, at the top of the pyramid is a fat black gay midget, and they can say anything they want, and they can scorch the earth, and everybody will laugh their ass off. And I go, Kevin Hart's only two of those, and look how great he's doing, you know. the point is, it's like interesting. So with tinfoil hat, you know, we've had people like Jimmy Dore, who is a conspiracy theorist. He just doesn't know it yet.
Yeah.
Because the word is so demonized, he doesn't want to be associated with it. Yeah. And there's people like him and Abby Martin, who are wonderful people who've been on my show, who kind of get weirded out if they get started to get called conspiracy theorists. But you know, the truth is what they apply to geopolitics and the mainstream media, you, me, I mean, I can't speak for you, but I can say for myself, we apply to everything.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Not just the news, not just politics, but pop culture, you know, the Boulets, all this stuff. Yeah. We can go through that we apply to everything. They stop at these certain things and they don't want to apply it to everything. If you look at everything in the same pyramid, they would all be into the same conspiracy theories we are, you know?
Yeah. We're not conspiracy theorists. We're conspiracy analysts. And yeah, they are too. Jimmy Dore and Abby Martin are analyzing these conspiracies as well. Jimmy Dore's talking about the DNC rigging it, you know, against Bernie and everything. That's a conspiracy. He's got a theory on it. You know, I know he doesn't want to be, he doesn't want to be lumped in with, you know, people that are, you know, talking about flat earth and everything because he's doing politics. I know Abby Martin's doing serious work in, on the BDS movement in Palestine and Venezuela and all that stuff. And so to get, you know, I understand. I understand why they would want to be sort of off to the side, but they're not as far off to the side as they might think they are, because we're all studying. When you get into politics and geopolitical, you know, decisions that are made involving war and things like that, we're all conspiracy theorists or conspiracy analysts now, because we have to take a look at this sort of stuff. We have to pick apart the lies. That's what they're doing. They're just really good at it. Jimmy Dore is one of my favorites. I mean, he just has a way of talking about things that he has a way of exposing people that are trying to pass off lies as truth. And he does a very good job of calling them out on it. And then, but while humbling himself by saying, oh, I'm just a dick joke comic working out of my garage. But he knows, and we know, he's way more than that. He's way smarter than that. And you know, as he quite correctly states, is that a lot of these people are paid not to understand that. You know, they're paid to look the other way, like these news reporters and everything. It can be frustrating to go through life watching the rest of the world and looking around and seeing people next to you that don't get it. You just want to shake them. But like you said, you can't do that, because you can only deal with people that are asking for enlightenment or asking for answers and things like that. God knows I've done it the wrong way, where you're going to try and educate someone on a topic that they don't want to be educated on. That goes nowhere.
You end up doing more damage than good. You know, here's the thing, you know, you're 100% about, you know, it's like, you know, my best friend, Eddie Bravo, is pretty much the face of flat earth. It's not my art. I don't put my flag in that. Okay. I'm not against it. I'm not for it. I actually hope for it. I mean, I think I vote for chaos every time. The more chaos, the better. So flat Earth fits into that. I am open-minded to what we live on is much different than we're being told, because the people who tell us that have been caught lying a million times. So I am totally open to that. It is not what we're being told. You know, these people like Jimmy Dore, Abby Martin, they're wonderful people. They get very scared when they start looking into other stuff. And they maybe get scared when if they're telling us that they're lying about this war to get us in the war. And maybe they don't want to apply that same thing to school shootings and the notion to take away our guns. That's a scary thought to them. You know, the same way I don't want to claim flat Earth, because I figure that that will make it really hard for me to sell these other things that I know 100% are true. Right. You know, flat Earth is, I have a best friend who believes in it, and we believe in everything else the same way, except for that one issue. And I go, well, if I believe everything the same way, why would he be lying to me about that? Right. But I don't want to go forward and say that, because it's automatically going to shut my message about anything else down with certain people. If they hear flat Earth, they're going to be like, okay, crazy guy. And I'm already dealing with that. So I understand why they don't want to apply, because they're doing the Lord's work in other things. And they don't need to fight every battle, because other people are fighting those other battles. But I always find it very interesting when somebody who is pushing such a what will fall under conspiracy theorists, I like you, conspiracy research in one area, and then so quickly they turn around and dismiss a conspiracy research in another area.
Yeah.
That Catalina Johnson, that woman who's a wonderful reporter out of Australia.
Oh, Caitlin Johnstone.
Yeah, Caitlin Johnstone. Sorry about that. She's wonderful. I retweet her all the time. Mm-hmm. But one time she put out something about, oh, I'm tired of hearing about all this satanic dark art stuff in government. I go, you literally have been banging your head against the wall, telling everybody there is no such thing as Russian collusion. And everybody's called you a whack job, and you've been offended by that, as you should be, because you're correct. But now you're literally turning around and doing the same thing. And she's wonderful. I'm not trying to be I think she's doing the Lord's work, and I retweet her as much as possible.
She's the best on Twitter.
I find that stuff so interesting. And I'm not saying you have to believe in all conspiracies. I'm just saying – I don't ever shut down a conspiracy. I go, I don't know. I'd have to do more research into it. But what I've learned is anything's possible.
Yeah. I went on and did the show with Jaron and David Weiss down deep inside the rabbit hole or something like that about flat Earth. And they wanted to have me on as the guy that needs more information about it, you know? And what I said to them was, look, I know a lot of people take shots at you guys. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to be respectful to you, because I know that it's, I hate it when people are instantly disrespectful to me about the things that I believe. And so I'm not going to do that to them. And I also said, look, I also have to confess that I might be a couple steps down that road anyway, because I'm extremely distrustful of NASA and the government. And it sounds like something that they would pull on us, you know, to have the United Nations flag be a flat Earth that's divided up into 33 different sections, and to have that as their flag. It just seemed like something that they would do, that it's like giving us the finger, you know, right in your face. We're showing you it's a flat Earth and all that stuff. That being said, I don't think it's a flat Earth, but I'm also not going to just shit on these guys, because I know what that's like to have that done to me. And I feel like, you know, we need to be respectful of everyone. I understand some people go a little bit too far in this, but
for me, so, dude,
yeah,
for me real quick, the only time I push back on conspiracies is when people try to label an entire group as this bad, evil thing,
yeah,
whether it's Jews,
right,
gays, trans, like I've studied this so much to know that it's not those groups. Right. There's levels above that,
of course.
And these levels above that get us all to fight with each other. So when people say, "Oh, there's a trans agenda, and the trans are trying to do this, this, and that," and I go, "You're crazy. You're talking about one of the most disenfranchised, powerless groups out there. They really just want to be able to live a life and make a dollar without having to sell their body because they can't work anywhere." Mm-hmm. So when you see people like RuPaul, doing like that Netflix show, she's selling out her own people. And that's being done on purpose to get us, you know, all to fight with each other. And a great example of that is like the CIA and the hippie movement, how they created the hippie movement and then they demonized the hippie movement just so people wouldn't want to do that stuff. They do that all the time. I really honestly believe that all culture is manufactured and it's being done by people that want us to make bad decisions and act inappropriately and really mess up our lives. That's my honest opinion. So that's the only time. You know, I have an episode coming out with Adam Green and he goes into, you know, Jewish power structures. And I don't believe in that. I believe in that it's levels higher, that at the highest levels, it's all these Saturnists. And, you know, yeah, you're going to see a couple Steins and Bergs, but I think behind closed doors, just like, you know, with Epstein, he was into ball, into the dark arts, and that's the real religion that they're into, for sure. And that they wear these other religions as masks to walk around us, you know, and we're going to put out the episode, and it's an uncomfortable episode. I mean, again, I'll say Adam Green is a very nice guy, and he's very passionate, and at the end of the day, his passion is for his country, and I respect the man. His research is very thorough. I just think there's more levels to it, and that, you know, on a day-to-day basis, we all have a lot of Jewish friends who probably haven't even read the Torah, definitely haven't read the Talmud. They don't know any of that stuff. And, you know, and I just, those are not uncomfortable things, but those are the conversations we have to have on Tinfoil Hat. I don't run from those. I run to those because I think we're not having conversations anymore. And everyone's just talking to people who they agree with. And that is something that I'm not into. You know, it's like Joe Rogan's one of my best friends in the world. We don't agree on a lot of stuff. I think it's ridiculous to think we shouldn't be friends because we don't agree on stuff. I'm not here just to talk to people I agree with. I'm here to talk to everybody. And it's okay if we don't agree on something. It's all right. Doesn't mean we got to hate each other. We could just, it's okay. We just have a disagreement on that thing. We probably agree on, you know, I talk to liberals. We probably agree on everything except for like Hillary and guns. You know, we probably agree on a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Doesn't mean we don't agree on those two that we can't be friends or have a discussion or love each other.
Yeah. We've talked about this before. You and I kind of feel the same way. Like we're socially liberal, sort of like do your thing. Don't hurt anybody else. I'm not going to tell you what to do. You don't tell me what to do. We're all going to, you know, do our own thing. But I think some people just can't handle that. And there are some people that are doing it right in this world. There's some people that are doing it wrong. In your world, in your comedy world, and because you brought up Rogan, who's doing it right? Who's got it? Who's figured? Is it?
There's a lot of people.
Is it?
Well, hold on. So what do you mean by doing it right? By
the way, who's doing it with integrity? Who's not selling out people to in order to get a Netflix special? Who's not Chelsea Handler?
Here's my whole thing. Like somebody like Tom Segura is probably the smartest businessman I've ever met in my life. And I mean that in the most positive of positive ways. He's a great business. Bert Kreischer's a great businessman.
He's a great marketer. Bert is phenomenal at marketing.
They're all great. I don't, you know, like, there's very, you know, Chelsea Handler is her own thing. And I just like, I really, you know, I've teed off on her a lot. I mean, like, I have no problems with her career. And, you know, she made a decision to sleep with her boss who is married and got a TV show out of it. And God bless her on that. You found a glitch in the Matrix. And we love you for that. Please don't tell me how I should live my life. Don't be doing a special about white privilege as you have a driver. I don't want to hear anything about that. You do you. You know, we both used to like to do a lot of cocaine and bad decisions. We should have gotten along, but we don't. And that's fine. But I mean, like a lot of my friends are a lot. Listen, dude, comedy is very interesting, or just being an artist. If you make good business decisions, you're seen as a sellout. And I don't believe that at all. I don't really hang out with anybody who's doing that woke comedy stuff. I cut them off very quickly. I've done videos on it, that woke comedy is broke comedy.
Yeah.
The Segoras are the most brilliant, they're brilliant comics. It only works because they both have black belts in comedy, him and Christina, and they're the smartest business people out there. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think there's some people that get weirded out on it because, you know, artists and blah, blah, blah. But dude, he's a self-made man, and he should be proud of everything he has going on, you know, and I think he's fine. Sigourney, they're all great, man. I've watched all my friends blow up. Brian Redband, Tony Hinchcliffe. I love what they're doing. They're doing it great too. Tim Dillon's coming in.
He was just on with Kill Tony with the two of them, and it's phenomenal. It's such an interesting thing. I think maybe you'll look back on this time, and you posted something on Twitter a couple of weeks ago, and it was that lineup of people at the Comedy Store that one night, and it was like Segura and Rogan and you and Chris D'Elia, I think, or it was like the New York Yankees in the 50s, that lineup. It was Murderer's Row.
It's so funny, dude. Those are all personal friends of mine for 15 to 20 years. Okay. Mm-hmm. And it's very interesting because, you know, Netflix is doing a comedy festival and they put out all these lineups. And I was talking to the woman I produced the show with, and we were just like, wow, that's just a comedy chaos lineup. That's all they are. They're just doing comedy chaos lineups because these are my friends. Comedy chaos has changed comedy in LA. People, the way people book and all that stuff. And yeah, man, I mean, the Comedy Store is mecca of comedy. It's the only place where you can go hang out with legends. Like you can walk the hall and the legends are standing right there. There's no other place you can do that. You can't go to Staples Center and hang out and the Lakers walk by. You can't go to the Whiskey and have Tool or Metallica or Public Enemy be standing right next to you at the bar. It never happens.
Yeah.
But the comedy store is where greatness always happens, dude. And you could be staying there and it could be Ron White or Bert Kreischer or you know, Joe Rogan. Everybody just hanging out. It's a very unique place. And I've been there through it all. I was there through the death and this when it was the slow period. And I'll tell you something, the slow period created this great period because all the comics that are rocking right now were the ones who were getting serious reps in when nobody would go to the store.
Yeah.
And
yeah. I'll tell you one story. I've been there one time. For all the time I lived in LA, I've only been there one time. This girl invited me. I got to tell the story. This girl is a stripper from Dallas. I met her. I was just out of college. I was working at this restaurant and she was with her sister and her sister's husband. And she said, "We have an extra ticket to this comedy show tonight. Do you want to come?" And I said, "Well, I have one question. Are you single?" And she said, "I'm single." I said, "Then I want to come. Who's there?" And she said, "Arsenio Hall, Chris Rock, Richard Pryor." I go, "Get the fuck out of here. There's no way that that's the lineup." She's like, "That's who's supposed to be there." We went there. Sure enough, Arsenio Hall, who I never thought was funny on his TV show. And this was 95 when I saw it, when this happened. He killed it when he was able to say, you know, he's
great comic.
Yeah, great. And then Chris Rock went on. And this was pre, you know, all his stand-up stuff. This is when he was doing Saturday Night Live. Chris Rock goes on, he kills it. Richard Pryor goes on, he kills it. And afterwards, everyone leaves and we go out the side door for some reason. And Chris Rock is just standing there with his buddy. And the girl I'm with goes, oh my God, Chris Rock, I love you. You're so great. We're going next door to do shots. You want to come with us?" And he goes, no, pretty white girl. I can't go with you." She's like, "Oh, come on. He's like, no. And she goes, "Well, can I take a picture with you?" And he's like, "Sure." So she hands me the camera. She goes and stands next to Chris Rock. I take the picture of the two of them. And as she's walking away, she lifts up her skirt and flashes her ass to Chris. And he looks over and he slaps me on the arm and he goes, "I hope you're fucking that shit." and she starts walking up. I go, "I hope I am too." And I run up to catch up with her. And I was like, only in Hollywood could this night have happened like this.
Yep. There's no other place like it, dude. There's no other place like it. Hey, my computer's about to die. Can I go grab my cord real quick?
Well, let's wrap it up.
Okay.
I'll send you off. He's Sam Tripoli. Check out his specials, Zero Fucks and Armageddon and Tinfoil Hat, of course. Catch him on the road when he goes out on the road. He's the best. He's my friend. We love you. Thank you, Sam, for doing the show.
I love you. Congratulations on your show. Anytime I can come on or anytime I can do anything to help, please let me know. You're a wonderful human being. We need more of you in the world. So I appreciate you. Good luck. And man, come to LA and come to the Comedy Store. Hang out, man. Come to the Comedy Chaos. It's the greatest show in the world. And I'm not even kidding.
Love it. Thanks, Sam. Talk to you soon.
Good stuff. Take care.